I wish I had time to tell some of the funny stories that Dalton didn't give. They could go a ways. Some of them I couldn't even tell. They were good ones, though. And this is a true story. I did not want to make Jesus the Lord of my life until this is just to show the goodness of God, until I got to pick my own wife, and I was afraid he's going to send me to Africa. Well, look what happened. I got her. She's amazing, wonderful, and he sends Omega to Africa, and she loves it. So, God's good. The title of my sermon is going to be Born Again, What's Next, and How Shall We Respond to So Great a Salvation. Josh is preaching on the series Born Again and doing a great job, and Caleb even did a great job on talking about Ephesians, which Kim and I both are going to bring up Ephesians 8, Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, and Romans 10, 8, 8 to 10, and the reason I'm going to bring, well, I'm first going to tell you the three reasons. Josh looked over my sermon, and he helped me. He said, first thing he said was, power is in the seed, not in the sower. So I thank God for that. The seed's going to be planted. I'm going to tell you the word. And the second one is to shorten my sermon. And the third one is so that if I can't finish, I just have to raise my hand. He's got the notes. He can come in and finish the sermon for me. So if you know me very well, you know that you don't have to bring me water. You just bring me Kleenex. I want to talk on two scriptures. The first one is Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. And I'm going to start in verse 4 because I want to put an emphasis on grace, on what grace is and how it happens. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and in this kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I grew up in a church, and Kim's already told you that my whole sermon practically was where it wasn't preached that you could know you were saved. And like she said, it was kind of sacrilege, and you had a risk of getting burned by saying you did. But God's grace changes things. I remember, where's the Kleenex? My grandpa Frank getting the cows one morning, he dropped to his knees and asked Jesus to be Lord of his life. He started the dairy business. Then my dad Daryl was at a lay witness mission at our church, and he said, when tears come, the Holy Spirit's doing something. And I got to hear both of their testimonies before the church, saying that they knew that they knew that they knew. That was an old phrase we used, or was back then. I don't know if they still do that anymore, but they knew that they knew that they knew, and that's the same thing that I believe Peter could have said when Jesus asked his disciples, and says, who do men say that I am? And some of them said John the Baptist, some of them said Elijah, and some of them said Jeremiah, but one of the prophets, or one of the prophets. And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I will say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, and he's talking about the revelation. He wasn't talking about Peter, he's talking about the revelation. I will build my church, and the gates of heaven shall not prevail against you. I think Peter could have said that he knew, that he knew, that he knew that Jesus was the Christ. John said, explained it. He said, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the Son of God. And Paul explains how this happens, how this grace things happen. He says, The Spirit himself bears witness within our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. He says he reveals it from his spirit to our spirit. That's the revelation. And that's a gift. That's not something we can make happen. We can't get the unction to believe something like believing in Jesus for your salvation. It's something that God gives us. It's a revelation of knowledge that we can know that we know that we know that Jesus is Lord and he's the Lord of our lives. So that's the one part I wanted to say about grace. The second part is about Romans 10, 8 and 10. Can we get again? It's about the Lordship of Jesus. Our salvation is following Jesus. Romans 10 says, what does it say? The word is near you, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, it doesn't say the Savior Jesus, it says the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus said this more than 10 times. He said to his disciple, follow me, let the dead bury their own dead. And then he told Matthew, the tax collector, he said to him, follow me. So he rose and followed him. In Matthew 16, he said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after him, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Disciples means follower of Jesus, or follower of whatever you're discipling. And so that's what we are called to do is, Jesus said in Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the Jews also who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So there's a grace for salvation, but it's also a commitment. It's not just, you just don't get saved and that's it. There's a next step. So if you've truly made a commitment to repent and let Jesus be the Lord of your life, you are truly born again, and we should know. There's no excuse for not knowing anymore. I don't know how you live, and I never did understand how people lived and not know that. I mean, just trying to be good. It seemed like every time we went to church, it was just like, you need to do better, need to love God more. But if you don't know that you're a joint heir with Jesus, then it's hard to do that. So Paul says, here's the title of my sermon then. How shall we respond to so great a salvation? Because it's just marvelous. Paul gives a couple of, or tells us how in Romans 12, 1, he says, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg to you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your bodies, all your members, all your faculties as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service. It's just reasonable after what he's done. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind. So he's telling us that we need to renew our mind to what God tells us that we are and who we are, so that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we know we all want that. The Passion translation of that, Romans 12, I think is even better. He says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be His sacred living sacrifice. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. He says to be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit. He's talking about revelation knowledge. We have to get revelation knowledge of who God tells us we are. We have to get it from the Word. That's the only way we can know. So, Peter, he knew he was dying. He wrote, I'm soon going to put off my pen. We're going to read this scripture at the end of the sermon. John's going to lead us in it. But he knew, because he says that Jesus showed him that he was going to die pretty soon. And he says that you remember these things after my decease. And so our last words are pretty important. And I was thinking about that. And you know, everything in here that's in the red letters is Jesus' last words. So they're all pretty important. But Peter said, to those who have obtained precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these they may be partakers of the divine nature. Through these promises, we can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world that is in us, and through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Jesus said that if you can't say that you love God if you hate your brother. He also said that if you can't forgive your brother, God can't forgive you. So Peter was saying these things, and he was I'm making the point that we're not only renew our mind to receive the promises of God, we also renew our mind to get ourselves in the character of God. D. Boyd always taught, every time he taught, or a lot of times he taught, I know I heard he said, what's your purpose in life? And we'd say, oh, you know, all kinds of different things, and you can never answer these questions right. But he would say, it's to conform into the image of Jesus. And that's why we renew our mind. That's why it's important. That's why Paul said it's important that we renew our mind. So I'm going to give you a few reasons why I think that it is important that we do renew our mind. And the first one is that it's for our survival. I won't go through this all because it's long. The parable of the sower, you know that Jesus is telling the parable, and he says the devil comes immediately to steal the word. And I've seen that happen so many times. I've seen people get healed, and immediately the devil comes and steals the word. And he does the same thing with salvation. If you don't stay, keep renewing your mind, he'll come immediately and try to steal the word from you. John 10:10 says the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life, and life more abundantly. So when you get saved, you go up on the devil's hit list. He'll let you come to church and be comfortable and do whatever you want to do. He'll let you skip church, whatever. I mean, as long as you're not bothering him, you're not on his hit list. But once you do, once you start telling people about Jesus, he don't like it a bit. So it's important that we keep renewing our mind. The second reason is to attain the promises. When we see what God's promised His followers, when we look up here through the Scripture and we see all the promises that God has given for us, we look at our lives and we wonder, am I in God's perfect will? And am I receiving the promises, or we'll be praying for things and we never see it happen? So it takes a while to but we want to. I mean, that's one of the reasons for renewing our mind. So I'm going to give you a few suggestions of how to renew our mind so that we can get the word from here to revelation in our mind, in our heart. The first one is, and you've heard this a million times, read the word. Faith comes by hearing. The second one, believe the word. It said in Hebrews, it said, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. So we have to believe it. The third one is meditate the word. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. Then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. It's important that we meditate God's words, that we think about it, just let it go. And like, I was a dairyman, so I know about how cows meditate. They chew up their cud, and then they bring it up again, and chew it again, and bring it up again, and chew it again. And that's what we have to do with the Word of God. The fourth one is to speak the Word. Proverbs 18:20, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its truth. The fifth one is to pray the Word. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. It's all about the grace. The sixth one is to pray in the Holy Spirit. Jude says to build ourselves up in the Holy Spirit. In Romans, Paul says that when we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is agreeing with us for His perfect will for us. And Paul says in Colossians, the same way that you received Jesus as Lord and Messiah by faith, continue your journey in faith. So we continue the same way we got saved, by revelation, knowledge, by grace through faith. So anything that you can do to work on getting in the Word, getting the Word from here to here, that's our life. And it's going to take some time sometimes. Hebrews 35 says, you may have need of endurance. So after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise for yet a little while. And he is coming, who is coming will not tarry. Now then, the just shall live by faith, so we stand. And the sixth thing that I didn't have written down here was sing the word. The first time that I, besides getting born again, got revelation knowledge was because I was singing the word. There was a lady, Janie Grine was her name. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of her, but she sang scripture songs. And the song that she was singing that we listened to all the time was Count It All Joy. And she was just practically out of James 1. I mean, just word for word, pretty much. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials, because you know that the trying of your faith is going to produce perfect works. And I was driving the tractor out raking hay, and this migraine came on me, and I couldn't see where I was driving. I mean, when I got a migraine, I would just like have blind spots in my eyes and couldn't see. And luckily I'd been singing this song, and it just came up in my spirit. I mean, it was revelation that I was excited about it. I had a joy that I get to receive. Get this tribulation, because I get to show the devil that I can win this thing, that he can win this thing when I stand on his word. And I just kept driving, and God healed me. I finished the field. But that's how I think that sometimes we try to claim the promises of God, and we haven't spent time meditating in it. So it's important that we do that. And I got to say that there's no one way to receive the promises of God. There's no one book that you can find that tell you how to receive the promises of God. There's no one preacher that can tell you that This is what you have to do to get saved. This is what you have to do to get filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what you have to do to get healed. Except that it's our relationship with Jesus is the only thing that counts. What if we stood like the scripture says before him and we said, don't you remember, I built churches, I tore down walls, I healed the sick, I led thousands to you, and he said, depart from me, I never knew you. The relationship with God is what we're all about. So the third reason that we renew our mind is for stewardship. And I won't say very much about this. It says, Peter said, as each of you has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God gave us something, and we are to be stewards of it. And if you read Matthew 25 about the parable of the talents, you see the two people. He gave 10 to one, he gave 5 to one, and he gave 1 to one. And the 2 and 5, I mean the 10 and the 5 men, they developed their talents. They went out, took risks, they gambled, but they developed their talents, and they brought back more than what the master had given them. They were good stewards of what the master had given them. But there was one who didn't do anything. He just sat on his buns. And this is from the message, what Jesus' comments was to him, or the master's. He says, the master was furious. What a terrible way to live, lazy. It's a criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew that I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done was to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take what I've given him who risked the most. Take what I've given this one who I gave one, and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb, throw him into utter darkness. You don't want to be that guy. I want to hear him say, well done. And the fourth reason is to finish the race. Josh always says he wants to see old people serving God. I do too. If you read chapter 11 of Hebrews, you read about the Hall of Faith. Every one of those men and women, they heard God. They knew that they knew. They knew that God told them something, and they stood on it. No matter what the peril, they stood, because they heard God. Hebrews 12 tells us how to be like them. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. Don't even say more. Looking unto Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith, who sat down at the right hand of God. There's no perfect rules about how to obtain promises or God's perfect will for your life, except this one thing. Look unto Jesus. Amanda, can you help me? I guess that's what I'm supposed to do. Do you want to finish?
I'm doing the Lord's table.
Okay. Oh.
I'm after you.
Okay. Well, anyway, I don't want to finish this sermon and put people in guilt for their lack of growth or their failures. Jesus never did that. So, as we get into God's Word, we can see that great, 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 far greater men than us have failed way more miserably than we have. And that's not an excuse, but I'm just saying that God uses people. He uses men. You can look at Adam, you can look at David. David was a murderer and an adulterer, killed one of his most loyal servants. It's hard hard to imagine. You can look at Paul, who killed Christian. You can look at Peter. But we were created to live for him. We can't live without him. We can't live without his grace that he gave us when Jesus went to the cross and rose again so that we can live. That's all I've got, unless Josh wants me to do my rabbit trail.
I don't know what that is.
We got time?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll save it for later.